As to Carthage, the generally accepted view is that it was founded in the second half of the 9th century. Tamius placed its foundation in the year -814. Tamius was the first to fix the chronology of the Olympiads. 2. Philistos, a Greek author, born in -435, placed Carthage's foundation a man's life length before the Trojan War, but Philistos' dating of the Trojan War is unknown. Philistos' date for the foundation of Carthage, 60 or 70 years before the fall of Troy, is thought to be in conflict with Tamius' date because the Trojan War would need to be placed in the middle of the 8th century, shortly before the foundation of Rome. But is there a conflict between the founding dates of Carthage in Tamius and in Philistos? A refugee from Troy in the first half of the 12th century could not find Carthage, a city built almost 3 centuries later by colonists from Phoenicia, and he could not be associated with the founding of Rome either directly or by one of his descendants of several generations. The gap between -1183, the conventional year of Troy's fall, and -753, the traditional date of Rome's foundation, being more than 4 centuries wide. References. 1. Fabius Pictor gave -747 as the date of Rome's founding. 2. He was a native of Sicily, the history of which he wrote from the earliest times to -264. Of that history, regarded as authoritative and antiquity, only single passages survived in authors who quoted him. Carthage is across the straits from Sicily. Olympic Games in the Iliad. The recording of events in ancient Greece was by the years of the Olympiads, 4 years apart, the first year of the first Olympiad having been -776. An important contest at the Olympiads was among charioteers, each driving a 4-horse team. Olympia was located in the district of Elis in the western part of the Peloponnesian Peninsula. Tradition has it that the Olympic Games were initiated by Pelops, an immigrant from Phrygia in Asia Minor. Another account ascribes the founding of the festival to Heracles, as a celebration of his conquest of Elis. 1. In Worlds in Collision, the identity of Heracles with the planet Mars was brought out from the statements of several ancient authors. 2. While the founding of the Games was attributed to Heracles, or Mars, the festival also honored Athene, or the planet Venus. This is shown by the fact that the early games were held at 8-year intervals, 3 typical for Venus festivals, since 8 terrestrial years equal 5 synodical years of Venus. Later they were celebrated every 4 years, or 2.5 synodical periods of Venus. The 8th century was a time when the planet Mars was prominent among the heavenly bodies and caused much destruction on Earth. Nestor, the future king of Pylos, was but a young man at the time of the rampage of Heracles Mars through the western Peloponnese. He himself saw all his elder brothers killed by the god and his native Pylos burned to the ground. 4. But by the 10th year of the siege of Troy, Homer tells, 2 generations of mortal men had already perished, those who had grown up with him and they who had been born to these in sacred Pylos, and he was king in the third age. 5. This information permits the rough guess that some 50 to 60 years passed between the founding of the Olympic Games in Nestor's youth and the Trojan War. In the Iliad, the aging Nestor recalls that soon after the rebuilding of Pylos, his father Neleus sent from Pylos a team of 4 horses with a chariot to race for a tripod for a competition to be held at Elis. But the fine steeds were detained by the Elian king and their driver was sent home to Pylos empty-handed. 6. For in Elis a great debt was his, Neleus, due, a 4-horse team of racing horses and their chariot that would have contended in the games and raced to win the tripod. That this passage from the Iliad is a reference to the Olympic Games was understood already in antiquity, as we gather from a discussion of it by the geographer Strabo. 7. This means that Homer knew of the Olympic Games and had Nestor refer to them as an event that began to be celebrated several decades before the drama that is the subject of the Iliad. However, it is beyond dispute that the beginning of time reckoning by Olympiads was in the 8th century, more precisely in -776. The fact that these games are mentioned as taking place when Neleus, the father of Nestor, was a young man gives some indication of the time in which the Trojan War was fought. Troy and Gordian. When Schliemann dug through the strata of Hissalix Hill, he discovered, on the second level from the virgin ground beneath, great walls of a fortress, and in the same level some treasures, all of which he attributed to Priam's Troy. His view was invalidated, and probably so, because a correlation with Egypt made it appear too early for Troy. The second level, Troy too, was shown to have been in existence during the Old Kingdom of Egypt, and thus long before the traditional date for Troy's fall. The end of Troy VI, identified by Wilhelm d'Urpfeld as the Ilion of the siege, was found to have been contemporaneous with the mid-18th dynasty of the Egyptian New Kingdom, and was therefore also too early for the Trojan War. Karl Blegen identified 46 layers of occupation of the mound of Hissalik, the Troy of the excavators, but divided them between the 9 strata of occupation classified by d'Urpfeld. Troy VI was a well-built fortress. Blegen specified 8 separate levels of occupation in this stratum alone. It ended in a violent earthquake. Blegen, however, looked for a fortress that fell not due to an earthquake, but in a siege and assault, thus he identified the Troy sung by Homer as Troy VIII. The 6th city of Troy is conventionally placed in the 14th-13th centuries before the present era, a dating which ultimately depends on Egyptian chronology. Here an observation by Rodney Young, the excavator of the Phrygian capital Gordian, one needs to be cited. In their batter as well as their masonry construction, the walls of the Phrygian gate at Gordian find their closest parallel in the wall of the 6th city at Troy. But a gulf of time separates these two constructions in the conventional timetable. Though separated in time by 500 years or thereabouts, the two fortifications may well represent a common tradition of construction in northwestern Anatolia. If so, intermediate examples have yet to be found. Too. Still today no intermediate examples have been found. As to the date of the Phrygian gate and wall of Gordian, Young wrote, the Phrygian kingdom was at the apex of its power toward the end of the 8th century, when it apparently extended as far to the southeast as the Taurus and was in contact with Assyria. This period of power was apparently the time of the adornment and fortification of its capital city. This points to the 8th century for the erection of the city wall and gate. 8th century Gordian is similar to 13th century Troy, yet intermediate examples of the peculiar way of building the gate and the wall beg to be found. 4. Ars Lantas, rock-cut Phrygian tomb. The resemblance in idea is complete, wrote W. M. Ramsey in 1888.2. He considered the scheme so peculiarly characteristic of Phrygia, that we can hardly admit it to have been borrowed from any other country. He found himself driven to the conclusion that the Mycenaean artists either are Phrygians or learned the idea from the Phrygians. 3. It is not allowable to separate them, the Phrygian and Mycenaean monuments, in time by several centuries. 4. The Phrygian monuments, in Ramsay's view, belong to the 9th and 8th centuries. 5. The end of the Phrygian kingdom is a fixed date, about 675 BC, when the invasion of Asia Minor by the Cimmerians put an end to the Phrygian culture and art. Ramsay went on, I do not think it is allowable to place the Mycenaean gateway earlier than the 9th, and it is more likely to belong to the 8th century. The view to which I find myself forced is as follows. There was in the 8th century lively intercourse between Argos and Asia Minor. In this intercourse the Argives learned to fortify their city in the Phrygian style with lions over the gate. Historically there is certainly good reason to assign at least part of the fortifications of Mycenae to the time when the Argive kings, the tyrants of the 8th century, were the greatest power in Greece. Here follow the names of several authorities among the historians who hold the same view. 8. On the other hand, the almost universal opinion of archaeologists rejects this hypothesis. Oriental influences found in the remains of Mycenae are precisely what we should expect in a kingdom like the Argos of the 8th century, when this kingdom had intercourse with Asia Minor, Phoenicia and Egypt. I wish, however, to express no opinion here about the date of the Mycenaean tombs and about Mycenaean pottery, but only to argue that the fortifications of the Lion Gate belong to the period 800-700 B.C. 9. I quote this opinion of Ramsay with the special intention of showing how this viewpoint was invalidated. The Egyptologist Flinders Petrie made the following reply. A. Matter which demands notice is Professor Ramsay's conclusion that the Lion Gateway is of as late a date as the 8th century BC. This results from assuming it to be derived from Phrygian lion groups, on the ground of not knowing of any other prototype. As however we now have a wooden lion, in exactly the same attitude, dated to 1450 in Egypt. It seems that the Phrygian designs are not the only source of this motive for Mycenae. 10. In Egypt of the latter part of the 18th dynasty, a single instance of a rampant lion, not two rampant lions facing each other as at Mycenae and in Phrygia, made Petrie claim Egypt as a possible place of origin of this image rather than Phrygia. He had discovered heaps of Mycenaean ware in Egypt of the time of Akhenaten. He could not but conclude that these heaps coming from Mycenae must be dated to the 14th century. 11. Equally impressive was the discovery at Mycenae of a number of objects of 18th dynasty date, such as objects bearing the cartouches of Amenhotep II, Amenhotep III, and Queen Ti.12. Therefore Petrie decidedly opposed Ramsay in his estimate of 8th century for the Lion Gate and the fortification wall of Mycenae. 13. Here is a case where evidence from Anatolia pointed to the 8th century ; 14, but the Egyptologist demanded of the classical scholar that he disregard this evidence in favor of the timescale of Egypt. The debate between Ramsay and Petrie took place before Evans' archaeological work on Crete. The rampant lions were found engraved on late Minoan gems, 15, conveying the idea that Mycenae must have borrowed the image from there, from a period well preceding the Phrygian models. 16. Yet one should not lose sight of the fact that Crete's chronology was also built upon relations with Egypt. In the section The Scandal of Incommi, we shall read how Evans objected to the chronological implications of Cypriot archaeology by stressing relations between the Egyptian and the Minoan, Cretan, chronologies on the one hand, and Minoan and Cypriot on the other. In Ages in Chaos it was shown in great detail why the end of the 18th dynasty of Egypt must be placed in the latter part of the 9th century. Thus even if Crete was the original source of the motif, Mycenae and Phrygia both deriving it thence, the dependence of Cretan chronology on that of Egypt constitutes the crux of the problem. 17. Let us keep in mind that in the 1880s and 1890s classical scholars of the stature of W. M. Ramsay, 1851-1939, questioned the inclusion of the Dark Ages of several hundred years duration between the Mycenaean past and the Ionic Age in Greece. And let us not overlook what was the supposedly crushing argument for wedging more than half a millennium into the history of ancient Greece. Olympia. The scholarly world without any further deliberation decided not to bring the Mycenaean age down to the first millennium, but this decision did not eliminate the disturbing facts. At the same time, another one-man battle was being carried on at the other end of the front. Greek antiquities, commonly regarded as belonging to the 8th and 7th centuries, were declared by a dissenting authority to date from the second millennium, to have been contemporaneous with the Mycenaean age, and even to have partly preceded it. According to the accepted view, the Mycenaean ware came to an end in the second millennium, and the Dorian invasion subsequently brought a primitive art, a pottery with incised designs, later a pattern of painted geometric designs developed, reaching its full expression by the late 8th century. Thereafter new motifs were brought into Greek art, griffins, sphinxes and other oriental figures. This is the period of the orientalization of the art of Greece in the 7th century. This scheme was accepted, and today, with only slight variations, it is the credo of archaeological art. According to Dorpfeld, in the second millennium two or three different cultures met in Greece. 1. Dorpfeld insisted that the geometric ware ascribed to the first millennium was actually contemporaneous with, and even antecedent to, the Mycenaean art of the second millennium, and that the primitive pottery was also of the second millennium. The archaeological evidence for the contemporaneity of the geometric and Mycenaean ware and of all other products of these two cultures, and even of the partial precedence of the geometric ware, was the basic issue for Dorpfeld, who spent a lifetime digging in Greece. Observing that the Mycenaean age is contemporaneous with the period of the 18th dynasty, and that the geometric ware is contemporaneous with the Mycenaean ware, he referred the geometric ware also to the second millennium. This aroused much wrath. A. Furtwängler, who during the excavations of Olympia in the western Peloponnesus, under the direction of Curtius, was the first to attach importance to bits of pottery, and who spent over a quarter of a century classifying small finds, bronzes, ceramics, and other products of art, and devised the system of their development, disagreed on all points. Dorpfeld chose to prove his thesis on the excavations of Olympia, on which he and Furtwängler had both worked since the 80s of the last century. In those early days, Curtius, one of the excavators of Olympia, was strongly impressed by proofs of the great antiquity of the bronzes and pottery discovered under the Heraean Temple of Hera at Olympia. He was inclined to date the temple in the 12th or 13th century and the bronzes and pottery found beneath it to a still earlier period, and this view is reflected in the monumental volumes containing the report of the excavation. 3. At that time, Furtwängler was also inclined to disregard the chronological value of occasional younger objects found there. 4. New excavations under the Heraean were undertaken by Dorpfeld for the special purpose of establishing that the finds, as well as the original Heraean, date from the second millennium. 5. But the excavated bronzes and pottery strengthened each side still more in its convictions. Each of the two scholars brought a mass of material to prove his own point. Dorpfeld, that the geometric ware, which he had himself found together with the Mycenaean at such sites as Troy and Tiryns 6, was contemporaneous with the Mycenaean ware and therefore belongs to the second millennium. Furtwängler, that the geometric ware is a product of the first millennium, and especially of the 9th to 8th centuries, and is therefore separated from the Mycenaean by Eine ungeheuren Kluft, a tremendous chasm. 7. Hubert Nignoramus, argued Furtwängler, would place in the second millennium the geometric vases found in the necropolis near the Dblon Gate at Athens. (8) Were they not found, he asked, in this same necropolis, porcelain lions of Egyptian manufacture dating from the 26th, the Satic dynasty of Psammaticus and Nikko? (9) Were not also a great number of iron tools found beneath the Heraean in Olympia? The Mycenaean age is the late Bronze Age, the geometric age that of iron. It is true, claimed Furtwängler, that a few iron objects have been found in the Mycenaean tombs, but they only show that iron was very precious at the time these tombs were built. Both sides linked the question of the date of the origin of the Homeric epic to the question at hand. Most scholars claimed that the epics originated in the 8th century. But, according to the dissident Dorpfeld, they originated 5 or 6 centuries earlier, in the Mycenaean age, which is also the geometric age. The dispute was waged with ungeheuren person lichen beleidigungen, outrageous personal slander, 10¼ centuries after one of the disputants, Furtwängler, was resting in his grave. The other, Dorpfeld, then an octogenarian, filled 2 volumes with arguments. They vilified each other on their deathbeds, and their pupils participated in the quarrel. In the end, the followers of Dorpfeld, the dissident scholar, deserted him and went over to the camp of his detractors. But by that time he had already been completely discredited, and his obstinacy made him a target for further attacks by the younger generation of scholars properly trained in the science of archaeology, who are able at a glance to tell the exact age and provenance of a sherd. They have no doubt whatsoever that the Mycenaean age came to a close call, -1100, and that the real geometric age belongs to the 9th and 8th centuries, and for a long time now the issue has not been open to dispute. But this does not mean that the facts ceased to perplex. According to E. A. Gardner, fragments of geometrical vases have been found on various sites in Greece together with late examples of Mycenaean pottery. 11. When then did the Mycenaean age end, car? -1100 or car? -700? In this dispute between the two scholars, both were guided by the chronology of the Egyptologists, according to which the 18th dynasty ended in the 14th century, the 19th came to a close before car. -1200, and the 26th dynasty belongs to the 7th and early part of the 6th centuries. In their application of these undisputed facts to the past of Greece, both disputant scholars agreed that the Mycenaean age belongs to the second millennium. The geometric age did not follow the Mycenaean age, but was of the same time or even earlier, argued one scholar, Dorpfeld, and was he wrong? The geometric age belongs to the first millennium, argued the other scholar, Furtwängler, and was he wrong? Wrong was their common borrowing of dates for the Mycenaean age from the Egyptologists. In view of the fact that later generations of archaeologists followed Furtwängler and not Dorpfeld, it is worthwhile to reproduce the assessment of the latter as an archaeologist by one who knew him and his work, herself a great figure in classical studies built on Mycenaean and classical archaeology, H. L. Lorimer, author of Homer and the Monuments, 1950. In her preface to that book, Lorimer writes, "I wish to record the debt which, in common with all Homeric archaeologists, I owe to a great figure, forgotten today in some quarters and in others the object of an ill-informed contempt, to Wilhelm Dorpfeld, the coadjutor of Schliemann in his later years and long associated with the Germaner Archaeological Institute in Athens. Scholars owe not only the basic elucidation of the sites of Tryns and Troy which ensured their further fruitful exploration, but the establishment of rigidly scientific standards in the business of excavation, an innovation which has preserved for us untold treasures all over the Aegean area. That in later years he became the exponent of many wild theories is true but irrelevant and does not diminish our debt. In his own realm his work, as those testify who have had access to the daily records of his digs, was as nearly impeccable as anything human can be." This is an evaluation of Dorpfeld as an archaeologist from the hand of a scholar who did not follow the lonely scholar on his wild theories. The archaeological work that brought him to his theories regarding the sequence of pottery styles was impeccable, and his theories were wild mainly because he did not make the final step and free Greek archaeology and chronology from the erroneous Egyptian timetable. The contemporaneity of the Mycenaean and early geometric wares, if true, contains the clue to the removal of the last argument for the preservation of the Dark Ages between the Mycenaean and Greek periods of history. The scandal of Inkormi. The lengthening of Egyptian history by phantom centuries must have as a consequence the lengthening of Mycenaean Greek history by the same length of time. On Cyprus, Aegean culture came into contact with the cultures of the Orient, particularly with that of Egypt, and unavoidably embarrassing situations were in store for archaeology. In 1896, the British Museum conducted excavations at the village of Inkormi, the site of an ancient capital of Cyprus, not far from famed Augusta, with A.S. Murray in charge. 1. A necropolis was cleared, and many sepulchral chambers investigated. In general, there was not apparent in the tombs reopened any wide differences of epoch. For all we could say, the whole burying ground may have been the work of a century. From first to last, there was no question that this whole burying ground belonged to what is called the Mycenaean age, the characteristics of which are already abundantly known from the tombs of Mycenae, and many other places in the Greek islands and in Egypt. However, the pottery, porcelain, gems, glass, ivory, bronze, and gold found in the tombs all presented one and the same difficulty. From the Egyptological point of view, many objects belong to the time of Amenhotep III and Akhenaten, supposedly of the 15th to the 14th centuries. From the Assyrian, Phoenician, and Greek viewpoint, the same objects belong to the period of the 9th to the 8th or 7th centuries. Since the objects are representative of Mycenaean culture, the excavator questioned the true time of the Mycenaean age. But as the Mycenaean age is linked to the Egyptian chronology, he found himself at an impasse. We shall follow him in his efforts to come out of the labyrinth. He submitted a vase, typical of the tombs of Inkommi, to a thorough examination. The dark outlines of the figures on the vase are accompanied by white dotted lines, making the contours of men and animals appear to be perforated. This feature is very characteristic. The same peculiarity of white dotted lines is found also on a vase from Cave, in Etruria, signed by the potter Aristonatos, which, it is argued, cannot be older than the 7th century BC. The same method of dotted lines is to be seen again on a Pinax plate from Camiros, on Rhodes, in the British Museum, representing the combat of Menelaus and Hector over the body of Euphorbos, with their names inscribed. That vase also is assigned to the 7th century BC. Is it possible that the Mycenae and Inkommi vases are 7 or 8 centuries older? Analyzing the workmanship and design of sphinxes or griffins with human forelegs on the vase, the archaeologist stressed its relationship, on the one hand, to the fragmentary vase of Tel El Amarna, see Petri, Tel El Amarna, plate 27, and a fragment of fresco from Turin's Perrot and Chibes, Vi, 545, and on the other hand to the pattern which occurs on a terracotta sarcophagus from Clazomenae, in Ionia, now in Berlin, a work of the early 6th century BC. The connection between the Mycenaean and Aristonatos vases caused a remarkable divergence of opinion, even among those who defend systematically the high antiquity of Mycenaean art. The problem of pottery which belongs to two different ages is repeated in ivory. The ivories of the Inkommi tombs are very similar to those found by Lard in the palace of Nimrud, the ancient capital of Assyria. There is, for example, a carving of a man slaying a griffin, the man being remarkable for the helmet with chin strap which he wears. It is a subject which appears frequently on the metal bowls of the Phoenicians, and is found in 2 instances among the ivories discovered by Lard in the palace at Nimrud. The date of the palace is given as 850-700 BC. An oblong box for the game of draughts, found in Inkommi, must date from a period when the art of Assyria was approaching its decline, 5 or 6 centuries after the reputed end of the Mycenaean Age. Among the Nimrud ivories, 850-700 BC, is a fragmentary relief of a chariot in pursuit of a lion to the left, with a dog running alongside the horses as at Inkommi, the harness of the horses being also similar. The style of the sculpture, of Nimrud, is more archaic than on the Inkommi casket. But how could this be if the objects found in Inkommi date no later than the 12th century? Comparing the two objects, I. J. Winter wrote. A hunting scene depicted on a rectangular panel from an ivory gaming board of Cypro-Mycenaean style found at Inkommi, with its blanketed horses and chariot with 6-spoked wheel, so closely resembles a similar hunting scene on one of the bikesides from Nimrud that only details such as the hairdo of one of the chariot followers or the flying gallop of the animals mark the Inkommi piece as a work of the 2nd millennium BC. Separated by some 4 centuries from the Nimrud bikesis. 2. A bronze of Inkommi repeats a theme of the Nimrud ivories, representing a woman at a window. The conception is so singular, and the similarity of our bronze to the ivory so striking, that there can hardly be much difference of date between the 2, somewhere about 850-700 BC. Another surprise among our bronzes is a pair of greaves. It is contended by Reichel III that metal greaves are unknown in Homer. He is satisfied that they were the invention of a later age, about 700 BC. Bronze fibulae, too, were found in the Inkommi tombs, as well as a large tripod with spiral patterns resembling one in Athens, which is assigned to the Dplon period, and a pair of scales of a balance like the one figured on the Arxelos vase. But such finds are separated by a wide span of time from the 12th century. The silver vases of the Inkommi tombs are obviously Mycenaean in shape. On the other hand, there were found 2 similar silver rings, one with hieroglyphics and the other engraved on the bezel with a design of a distinctly Assyrian character, a man dressed in a lion's skin standing before a seated king, to whom he offers an oblation. Two figures in this costume may be seen on an Assyrian sculpture from Nimrud of the time of Aslanatsa, Urpal, 884-860, and there is no doubt that this fantastic idea spread rapidly westward. Next are the objects of gold. Gold pins were found in a tomb of Inkommi.